know someone that needs to tame their temper? You have tried to help them overcome the cycle of destructive reactions and explosive responses, but you just don't know how to help them? If you know someone or you yourself have an issue with anger, stay with us. That's today.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on his international discipleship ministry. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy, by revealing a fact that can loosen the grip of anger in our lives. Now, this is a message you may want to hear again or send to a friend. To do that, just get the Chip Ingram app or go to livingontheedge.org and click the Broadcasts tab. Now with his message, Why We All Struggle with Anger, here's Chip.
Anger is a secondary emotion. Why we all struggle with anger. I have to start by, I got to tell you a story. It's a true story, unfortunately. But I'm studying and I'm preaching this material for the first time ever. So all week I'm studying. It happens to be about a Tuesday night and I'm preparing for this. And all I can tell you, I won't give you all the details, but have you ever had one of those days where you just felt beat up? I mean, you know, this phone call and this person complains and you get a bad look from someone and this was planned and it didn't come through and beat up. Kind of the projects weren't going well. It wasn't bad. No one treated me terribly. But I had one of those moments inside where I just couldn't wait to get home. And at our house, we ate dinner at 5:30, and I just made that a practice that apart from a very rare exception, we just ate together. But now and then there would be something that, you know, a big meeting, and so I wouldn't. And so it was about 9 o'clock, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, I just cannot wait to talk to Teresa. And I don't have anything big to say. And I mean, if I was really honest, I want to walk in the door and go, oh, honey, it's so good to see you. How'd your day go? Is everything okay? I mean, that's really, unconsciously, that's sort of what I'm wanting. And then Ryan was sort of a real young guy back then. He was about in his senior year of high school, and he always wanted to, you know, play some ball or talk or goof off. And you know, Annie was this little, you know, cute girl, about 10, 11 years old or so. And so in my mind, I'm going to go home and I'm going to see him. And I don't know what happened. I walk in the house, it's like 9:30. It's dark. I mean, the whole house is dark. I don't know if everybody had a big day, a bad day. And so I'm thinking, well, Teresa's probably laying in bed quietly waiting for me to walk in to say, oh, honey, how did your day go? So I walk in. I'm waiting for that. And I hear, you know, that rhythmic breathing. So, okay, plan A doesn't work. I'm going to go to plan B, Ryan. I mean, he's 17 years old. It's 9:30. Are you kidding me? The kid can't be asleep. What do you have, a hard practice? He's gone. Well, Annie's already been gone. All I can tell you is I just bolted to anger. And I was mad. And, you know, I think I, you know, made some popcorn, got a glass of orange juice, 45 minutes of ESPN. I work really hard today, kind of bummed out. And now, I didn't know I was mad. Okay? I just felt something's wrong. I didn't know. And I went to bed. And there's some verses about going to bed when you don't know you're mad. It doesn't get better, it grows. But a disconnect occurs. Often, you have emotional feelings and respond in ways you make no connection. I had no idea. So I get up the next morning, amazingly, in a bad mood. Imagine that. So I can still remember. I can picture it right now. I'm coming around the corner. As I walk out, Annie's coming out of her room, little 11-year-old. I look in there. Annie, make your bed. Dad, I just got up. Annie, don't talk back. Make your bed. Honey, Aunt Teresa goes, honey, she just got up. Look, hey, I'm the father of this house. You know? Then Ryan comes out. Hey, Ryan. Yeah, you had your quiet time yet? Hey, did you do your chores yesterday? Hey, Dad, I haven't even brushed my teeth. Hey, son, don't talk back to me. And so I walk into the kitchen. Teresa's, you know, doing some stuff for breakfast. And so what happened to you? What do you mean what happened to me? Well, you just seem really out of sorts. Well, you know what? If I'm going to get criticized all morning, I'm just going to go ahead and go to the office. And literally, I walk out the door. Now, I didn't scream. I didn't yell. I didn't slam the door. This is a Christian anger, all right? So I go and I get in my car and I slam the door, okay? And I start it, and I get ready to pull out, and then I'm just thinking. Literally, I'm studying all this stuff. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's like the red light on the dashboard of your soul. It tells you something's wrong under the hood. Chip, what are you going to do with this? And I'm thinking, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and get out of here. Chip, that's not what you're supposed to do, and that's not what you're going to tell people this weekend, is it? No. I literally sat in my car with the car running for 10 minutes in this moment of, really, what's wrong? Now, especially for men, now I'm not going to put you other guys on the hook, but at least for me, it's hard for me to admit, oh, I feel sad and disappointed because my wife wasn't awake and give me the strokes that I really wanted. That sounds kind of like a weenie, you know? I feel hurt and rejected because my 17 or 18-year-old son wasn't awake to hang out with me. And I can't think of a good reason to be mad at my daughter, but she just is in the hall at the wrong time. And I sat there and I thought, now what am I going to do with this? And after 10 minutes, by the grace prompting of God, I turned off the car. I went inside. Teresa looked at me like, you know, I wonder if round two is coming, you know. And I said, honey, can I get just a minute with you? She goes, sure. I said, I realized I was angry. And she looked at me like, oh, rocket science. You're really coming along here, you know. And I said, honestly, I came home last night. I really had a hard day yesterday. I missed you. And I felt really sad and really disappointed. And it doesn't make sense. I felt rejected because you were asleep. And you didn't do it on purpose. I had these expectations and I had this hurt. And I really needed to talk to you and you weren't here. And I didn't know it, but I got mad. But it just felt too vulnerable, or like there's something wrong with me to admit that I was really hurt and feeling lonely. And I bolted to anger and I went to bed with that. I just realized that in the car. And then I went to Ryan. I said, Ryan, you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you're a great kid. I'm really sorry. And Annie, have a great day. Dad, it's too much to try and explain. That changed, literally changed, a process of the sanctification of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life when I saw anger is like a red light on the dashboard of my car. And what I realized is a lot of times what we do is we go, oh, wow, the red light's flashing. And so we stop the car, get in the trunk, get a hammer out, and smash the red light. That'll take care of that, right? Instead of when it's on the light of the dashboard, what do we know? Something under the hood is amiss. Something's wrong. In your notes, I tried to lay it out in a little more systematically. It's easier to be angry than to face the deeper issues of anger. Anger is not the problem. It is the warning light. I came across a quote as I work through this than Dr. Becca Johnson. She seems to say it smarter, clearer, and better. She says, when I was late to pick up my son from school, I got mad at the clock, the school, the traffic lights, my watch, and the stupid school schedule before I finally realized the real issue. I was embarrassed that the school secretary had to call me to come and pick up my son. When a client of mine was mad at his boss, he realized that the strong underlying emotions were really insecurity and fear, and not anger. When I got mad at the driver who made a virtual gesture at me, I later realized that the root feeling was guilt because I'd pulled out too far in traffic and put him and me in danger. When I got angry at a colleague for not including me on a decision, I discovered really my anger was covering my own hurt pride underneath. If you and I are honest with ourselves and brave enough to peel back the anger, we can discover its true motivating force. When people abandon us, let us down, when someone doesn't come through, when we feel rejected, left out, lonely, sad, or sorrowful, we usually cover it up with anger. Because these emotions are so strong, painful, and confusing, anger serves as a more satisfying substitute. Anger artificially helps us feel in control when we're feeling out of control, and falsely helps us feel powerful when we feel powerless. And then she goes on to highlight some common emotions that cover anger. And just I'll give you the sort of the quick version again so that you'll go, oh. We often cover our anger with when what's underneath is hurt, guilt, shame, powerlessness, betrayal, insecurity, rejection, dashed hopes, feeling trapped, hopelessness, helplessness, unmet expectations, envy, jealousy, resentment, pride, low self-esteem, failure, sense of worthlessness, loneliness, depression, worry, anxiety, pressured, stressed out, disappointment, remorse, exhaustion, fatigue, and grief. I mean, those are real things that every human being experiences all the time in life. And what I want to suggest is the great majority of the time, that's not what comes up on your radar. You get angry. Some of you, though, know that angry is illegal, so you stuff it. And you don't even know that those are the real issues. Some of you stuff it for a while because you're a Christian and you feel like blowing up is not very healthy, then you blow up. Other people, you're eating because you're angry. Some of you are taking prescription drugs because you're angry. Some of you started off with a social glass of wine at night, and now you have to have two or three. And you're covering stuff inside that God wants to heal and forgive and restore. We learned that we spew, we stuff, and we leak. But I want to tell you that anger is a secondary emotion, and we all struggle with it. It's the tip of the iceberg. There are many, many underlying causes of anger. I just read about 25 of them. But when you pull them together, you basically can come up with about three big categories.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and Chip will be back with the rest of his message in just a minute. If you're new to us, Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry dedicated to helping Christians really live like Christians. Now, to hear more of Chip's teaching, get the free Chip Ingram app. Now, here's Chip with the rest of today's talk.
We get angry as a result of unmet needs, and I'm going to call that hurt. Because that's what it feels like. I just feel hurt. I had a need to talk. I had a need to get connected. I had a need for someone to come through for me. I had a need to be loved when I was grieving. The second is unmet expectations, and we'll look at each of these individually. And I just call that frustration. I expected people to be awake. I expect a friend to be available. I expect people to return my calls. I expect people to do what they said they would do. I expect people that love me to help me when I have a need, right? When they don't, I get mad, and so do you. The third underlying cause is insecurity, when we're personally attacked or threatened. And so with that, what I like to do is I'd like to walk through each of those, give you some biblical examples, and see if we can't. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to pray that God begins to help you have an aha experience so that from now on, when you get angry, you'll go, ah, this is a secondary emotion. I have bolted to anger. I wonder, is there an unmet need or hurt that I need to address? Is it an expectation issue or was I personally attacked? And I'll give you a tool for each one of these and how to deal with it so God can use your anger to help you instead of make you a prisoner. So with that, let's look at hurt. Real or perceived unmet needs. And all I want you to see is that underneath your anger often, it really is hurt. And the tool is what I call a I feel message. I shared that Teresa and I had a lot of struggles and we went to counseling and we paid a lot of money to give you a lot of help later. And we didn't know how. So when she got angry, she closed down, she stuffed, and I leaked. It's not a good combination. And so we went to this counselor and he realized you guys can't, you know, you can't resolve anger. And when you do, you attack each other, which is not good either. And we did it in real godly ways. I mean, you know, we weren't throwers and shouters and screamers and cussers. But you know what? It just tore us apart. And so on a 3x5 card, he wrote, I feel dash when you dash. And we put that 3x5 card on the refrigerator, and he taught us, this is how you communicate your hurt or your anger. And it goes something like this. I feel hurt when you pay more attention to the kids than me. I feel disappointed when you don't come home for supper and don't call. I feel rejected when I want to be physically close to you and you shut down emotionally. I feel angry when you shout and yell when we talk about a sensitive issue. And for 2 years, that was on our refrigerator. And we learned to say, I feel messages to one another. And God really used it. And he used it in an amazing, amazing way. And I would like you to think about who might need to hear an I feel message from you. When's the last time you really got angry with someone or something, and as a result of our time already, you realize you kind of stuffed it, or you sort of spewed, and that really didn't work very well, or you find yourself joking about the same thing, you know, a little sarcasm, little barbs. And I'd just like you to think about what would it be like? What's the real issue? What's behind it? What really bugs you? Why are you mad? Okay, the red light, it's anger. But what's underneath that? Who hasn't come through for you? Which one of those grandkids, after helping him go through college, doesn't write, doesn't call, and you realize, you know, I'm just ticked off. I'm just mad. Who at work? You know, you've helped them get to where they are, and they've made some progress, and it's like, hey, you know, it's like you don't exist anymore. Who's one of your friends that, you know, used to hang out with a lot, and now, you know, there's sort of that unwritten rule. If you're a really close friend and you call, you get a call back the same day, and now it's like 4 days or 5 days, and you don't even get a call, you get an email. Hey, I got your call. Thanks. I'm busy. And there's just something that's happening inside. You understand what I'm saying? There's something happening inside, and it's not like you're going to go, hey, I'd like to really confront you about our relationship right now, okay? Coffee shop, just you and me, mano to mano, womo to womano, all right? You are not responding to my email in a timely manner, and I feel deeply hurt. I don't think we're going to go there. But what it would be like to have some time together and say, hey, could we get a cup of coffee? And just, you know, say, you know, I sense a little drift in our relationship. And this may sound silly, but I feel hurt after all that we've been through when I call and I don't get a response for 3 or 4 days. Could I just share that with you as a brother? See, you're attacking the issue, not the person. And I will tell you, when you hold that inside, you know what? You get resentment toward the person. And then some of us, you know what? I won't call him back. When he calls me, I'll give him an email. You know, and we start these silly games. And God wants you to know he wants to use your anger for your good. Anger is a secondary emotion. One of the primary causes is hurt. We see it from Joseph's brothers. We see it throughout the Psalms. And I want you to just stop right now, okay? Close your eyes. I'm going to ask a question, and let's just a quick little exercise. Father, right now, I ask you to bring to mind a person or a situation in the lives of the people in this room where they have been hurt. And I'd like you to right now, just practice, visualize in your mind what it would look like. And it might be a phone call because they're too far away, but what would it look like just to say, I feel hurt. I feel left out. I feel wounded. I felt disappointed when you didn't invite me to the wedding. When you fill it in. You got it? And Father, I pray that you would grant us the grace and the courage to not bolt to anger, but to realize that we're human, and as humans, we get wounded and hurt, and we don't want the wounds to fester, and we don't want resentment or bitterness or anger to cause a root of bitterness and many be defiled. Help us to have the courage to deliver a loving, kind, I feel message, to get the issue on the table and to speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chip will be right back But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, Why We All Struggle with Anger, is from his series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. This five-part series from Chip takes you behind the scenes to discover the real source of anger, and then how to turn that anger into a productive, helpful tool for personal and spiritual growth. Anger wears many masks. In this series, Chip explains the most common ways we express our anger and gives practical, biblical solutions to help rein in those angry feelings before they destroy our most treasured relationships. Whether you're looking for a small group study, a book, CDs, or free MP3s and message notes, you'll find all the details on this series at livingontheedge.org or on the Chip Ingram app, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. Check it out today. Well, Chip, we do all struggle with anger, you know, but sometimes there's a darker cause behind it than we might realize, isn't there? I mean, there's a whole unseen spiritual realm whose sole purpose is to instigate strife and hate, even violence. So we really do need to be mindful that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, which is why we created a brand new set of spiritual warfare scripture cards.
Absolutely, Dave. The fact of the matter is that the enemy is having a heyday. Mm. There is a very personal angelic power called Satan who fell from heaven and took a third of the angels that are now called demons. And when they're greatly at work, they divide people and they cause anger and bitterness and resentment, and they get us to attack one another. And so these spiritual warfare cards help you understand what spiritual warfare is, when you're involved in it, how Satan actually works, and how to respond. And so I would encourage people, as you look at what's happening across the landscape, understand our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, according to the Apostle Paul. And I think these cards will be a great resource.
Very helpful. Well, these spiritual warfare scripture cards have been completely revised. They're organized in several categories to help you remember the truth about Satan and his tactics, be aware of your position in Christ, and then be calm and steady to stand firm in your convictions. So whether they're for you or to give as a gift to help and encourage someone else, I hope you'll pick up a set or two while discounted supplies last. For all the details on our newly revised spiritual warfare scripture cards, visit us online at livingontheedge.org or tap Current Offers on the app. Well, now here's Chip.
In today's program, the big idea, I mean, the whopper is that anger is a secondary emotion. You do not have an anger problem. Anger is the tip of the iceberg. Underneath of it, there are three major reasons. There may be more, but there's three major reasons, and we dealt with the first one. We talked about unmet needs, or when we're hurt. The second is unmet expectations, and the third is a basic insecurity issue, and we'll deal with that in our next broadcast. But when you have unmet needs, you get wounded or you get hurt, and so the tool is to say an I feel message. What we tend to do is we get into oughts and shoulds and demands and arguments, and I talked about the I feel message. Here's your application for today. Who in your world, who in your relational network, a mate, a child, a boss, a friend, who needs to hear, I feel hurt, I feel frustrated, I felt offended when you, and you actually do an I feel message. You might get with a friend and practice a little bit, but I will tell you, when you can begin to get your hurts and wounds on the table without attacking people, God is going to heal relationships. Are you ready? Are you willing? Give that person an I feel message sometime this week.
As we wrap up today's broadcast, just a quick but important thought. Living on the Edge depends on friends like you to provide the necessary funding we need to continue to broadcast right here in your area. Now, if you haven't already, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us financially so people in your area can continue to benefit from the ministry of Chip and Living on the Edge? To send a gift or to set up a recurring donation, call us at 888-333-6003, tap the donate button, or go to livingontheedge.org. And thanks in advance for whatever God leads you to do. Well, next week, Chip continues his current series, so be sure to make plans to join us then. For everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge.